I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles today to Colossians. Colossians, the second chapter. And these next moments that we have here this morning, I'm believing the Lord to touch you in a very special way. And I don't believe it's by accident that we assemble at times like this. I believe that looking around this room, even if you decided at the last moment to come, one thing I know is God knew exactly who would be here at this particular service, on this particular day. You had the freedom to come today. It was your choice, but He knew. That's the incredible thing about God. He is all-wise, all-knowing. He is incomprehensible to us in that matter. And so man tries all kinds of ways to figure Him out, but nevertheless, they all fall short of figuring God out. His ways are higher than our ways. But I want to thank you for being here. And you that may have came in after we gave the initial introduction this morning, we're thrilled that you came. We'd love for you to fill out a Get Connected card, and after service, somebody will meet you at the side welcome desk at this my right, your left. In the side foyer area, and we have a gift for you as well. But we're thrilled that you came today. Colossians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, and which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. One of the perhaps most important questions that is ever asked and answered by humanity is, why and what does a man who died and rose again in the first century have to do with men and women of the 21st century? What does it have to do with anything? And no doubt it is the most important, the answer to that question is the most important thing for that we can possibly consider this morning. Because the answer to the question in it is all of the, it's an answer that will satisfy the deepest needs of all of humanity. The deepest sense of abandonment that anybody could ever experience and feel is answered in this, with the answer to this question. And what we know is that man's deepest needs are met in Jesus Christ. This is the answer to of the centuries. This is the most important thing to know. Out of all of the knowledge that you can gain in all of the worlds, There's so many things that are important, but nothing is more important than knowing that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. That Jesus Christ is the Savior. And knowing Him as the one who saves you and has saved you and redeemed you, and knowing Him as Savior is absolutely the most important thing for you to know. Because it was at the cross where He answered the question of the ages. Sin that brought about abandonment. Sin that brought separation from God. Sin that brought man to a place where there was emptiness inside of him. And no matter what he tries to do to fill that emptiness, he always ends up empty. You can try to fill it with all the things of this world. You can get involved in all of many exciting things. And sin, the Bible says, is pleasurable for a season. But in the end, it leaves us just empty. It was fun for a while. It was satisfying for a while. But somewhere within man, there is a longing for peace that the world cannot give. There's a longing for contentment that cannot be found in things. Things deteriorate. Things get old. Things pass away. And all of a sudden, even life itself just seems so short. It runs out. Things turn south. Things turn sour. Things that were working are no longer working. Things that were fixed need to be fixed. Things that looked so great when they were new are now old. The body that felt so good when we were young is aching a little bit now as we get older. We are constantly running out in this world, and what we have in this world does not satisfy, but Jesus satisfies, and the answer to our life is at the cross of Jesus Christ. At the cross. At the cross. Where my Savior died. At the cross, at the cross. You see, that's where satisfaction comes. You see, at the cross, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. At the cross, God, through Christ Jesus, reconciled man unto Himself. You see, it's at the cross that old things pass away. It's at the cross where all things become new. It's at the cross where He was wounded for my transgressions, and at the cross He was bruised for my iniquities, and at the cross the chastisement for my peace was upon Him, and at the cross by His stripes I am healed today. At the cross where my Savior died. That's where all of these things have taken place. There's the hope of the world lies at the cross. And the Apostle Paul said, I glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, in religion itself, just religion, it doesn't have the answer. Just in religion. In religion, man tries to make God like him. But in Christ and Jesus, God revealed Himself in His Son Jesus. You see, He's not trying to make... God's not trying to become like us. He's trying to make us become like Him. See, in religion... Religion tries to help us cope with our sinfulness. But in Christ, He washes our sins away. You see, there's where the problem is. We get so caught up, and sometimes we want to make Christianity just another religion. It's just another way to cope. It's just another way to somehow survive in this world. I want to tell you it's far more than that. For He washes away my sin. He cleanses us and makes me whole again. He's the one who steps in and makes things new, makes us new creations in Christ Jesus. You see, it's not about just coping with my stuff. It's about Him cleansing me. It's about Him picking me up out of the miry clay of sin. It's about Him putting me on a solid place where I can walk and live and not just merely have to survive and just stumble around in this world. But it is in Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You see, that's what this relationship with Jesus, and that's what the cross is all about in this passage of Scripture. Beginning with verses 8, verse 6, we'll just go there again. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. Now I want you to go down to verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, He has made alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having forgiven you all trespasses. What we see here in this passage of Scripture, verse 13, is God's vindication over sin. I want you to see this again. He has, and you being dead in the trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, our condition was utter sinfulness. Utter sinfulness. In fact, we can picture it as a courtroom setting, if you will. You've got God who is judge. And the Bible teaches us that will not the judge of all the earth do right? We have God as judge. We have ourselves who have trespassed. Our humanity has trespassed. And so we see we have a guilty party. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then we see ourselves there, and as I'm standing there guilty and you standing there guilty because of sin, we there have a lawyer standing beside us. The incredible aspect of this is who our lawyer is. One of the names for Jesus in the New Testament is Advocate. Advocate. So, what we find is we've got God the Father is the judge. And please know this. God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. But God is a God of judgment and justice. And what we like to do is celebrate the first two. And we want to say, man, God's grace is amazing. His mercy is everlasting. But I want to tell you this, His judgment is amazing. His judgment is everlasting. We somehow just get down to that and we say, well, that one's he's not too strong on that side. Hope He's not. But no, He's just as strong on that side as He is the grace and mercy side. He's perfect. So there's a reality of our life when we have trespassed, when we've sinned, we are guilty and worthy of being judged for that. And so God, He reads the indictment against us. And the indictment is awful. The indictment for our sin is sure punishment. And then, this is what happened at the cross. We're there. Nothing that we can say. Nothing more that we can do but just stand there and wait for the judge to pronounce our sentence. And our lawyer, he steps up. He steps up, and he steps up with grace. And he steps up with mercy. And it's kind of rigged a little bit. This is the good news. This is the judge's son. This is the judge's son. Now I'm just me. I'm dead. I'm in trespasses and sins. I'm not in the family yet. I'm not there where I need to be. But all of a sudden, the son, lawyer, advocate, steps up and he says, "Father, I take his sin upon me." And that's what he did for you and I on the cross. He stepped over and he said, "Father, they're worthy of hell. They're worthy of fire. They're worthy of the judgment. But God, they have trusted in me. They've leaned upon me. They have obtained me as the lawyer of their life, as the advocate of their life, and I stand in their stead." And God says to his son that he must die. And Jesus, he willingly sacrificed everything for me and for you. He is the ultimate lawyer. You say, "But you don't need him." Oh, you need him. "Oh, I don't need Jesus. I can handle my own stuff." I got news for you. Handling it your own way won't be good. No other religion will satisfy the requirements of God. There is absolutely nothing you can memorize of all the religions of the world that will take your sin away from you. I want to tell you, not only do we see in this passage God's vindication, but we see humanity's liberation. He's liberated. Look again, the end of verse 13. "Having forgiven you all your trespasses." He has made alive. You've been made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, "having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Notice this. He said, having wiped out the handwriting requirements. I want you to see it in this way. There was an indictment against us. There was a handwriting. The law itself, the word itself, come against us because of our sin. And it was an indictment that had been written against us through His word because of our sins. Now, in the ancient times, the law, an indictment against somebody would be written in papyrus or vellum, which was animal skin. But there was no acid in the ink of that day. And so a scribe could erase the papyrus, the vellum, without any trace of the document that was there before, because there was no acid. And here it says, "having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us," which was bringing about judgment, "He has taken it out of the way." He's even taken, not only did He stand up and say, I'll stand in your place," He said, "in fact, this indictment that was against you, I am wiping it out. It's like it never existed. It's like the indictment was never there." Are you hearing that this morning? It's like that not only has He forgiven you, but it was like the transgression never existed to the begin with. He wiped it out. He nailed it to the cross. It's over with. It's done. It's in your past. It just gets better and better here. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Having disarmed. So not only that, not only He stand up and say, I'll die on the cross for them. Even the handwriting of requirements were wiped away like they did not exist. And He said, on top of that, I disarm all principalities and powers. We find in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers and dark places, the evil of this present age. But here it is said, upon the cross, Jesus has disarmed principalities. He has brought condemnation upon Satan himself. He has stripped him of his weapons. He stripped him of his tools of deception, even in their effects upon my life. In Christ, if I will stand in the Word, He will keep me. He will hold me up, even in the midst. That's why the Word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. It says in the Word, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? He has disarmed principalities and powers. And He's made a public spectacle of them. In the Roman times when Paul wrote this, Roman generals, after defeating other armies, would take the generals of those defeated armies and the officials of those other armies, and they would have a procession through the streets of the city. They'd be riding in their chariots, and they would be dragging behind them the spoils of their enemy. And they would take the defeated generals and have them walking amongst the people, the defeated officials and their spoils. They made public spectacles out of them. What Paul is telling us here is that's the same thing that happened when Jesus went to the cross for mine and your sin. That He made a public spectacle of the devil himself. That He is just marching down the street, and He's got His defeated foe behind Him, and we just sitting there making fun of the devil. I want to tell you, we say, well, I don't know if I want to do that because he might try to do something. He can't curse you. You are bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. We need to understand that He is real. Satan is real. There's a real devil. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is not somehow some equal competition with Satan. He is not. He's above all. He's in all. He's through all. He's more powerful than all. Satan is no match for Him. He's made a public spectacle of Him and all of His stuff. We need to understand how we can celebrate today. How we can celebrate the reality of Jesus. See, I'm glad to be in Christ, aren't you? You see, He nailed our stuff. He's nailed it to the cross. Now, He has. See, but the problem is, we sometimes only want enough of Jesus to say we're Christian. We only want just enough of Jesus to say we got saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want just enough Jesus, you know, I know he'll make my life better. It's the right thing to do. And everything's just kind of shallow. But see, the problem is we worry. We get so busy in life, and somehow Jesus is not. We're just trying to serve Him, but we're busy. Work, we got to work. I don't really have that much time for the Lord. Well, really, the truth of the matter is just sin that's everywhere anyway, that abounds in this world. And I don't know, on top of that, it's got a lot of family problems. And not to mention, we've got some addictions. Oh, forgot to tell you about that affair. But I love the Lord. God, why'd you let that happen? My life's falling apart. I gave you my life to you. Didn't I? I told you I got saved when I was a kid. I know I hadn't really been living for you. But I did get saved one time. But I've been busy a lot. What was the problem with what just happened up there? Anybody know the problem with what just happened? This was too shallow. My attachment to the cross of Christ was too shallow. And when you try to live and be a Christian, and you only want to get in and just splash around in the waters of Christianity, and just, yeah, I'm a Christian, I belong to this church or to that church, every once in a while, get spiritual and post a scripture, but yet really not dedicating your life to the one who has paid it all? And then we wonder, God, how did my life get like this? Lord, what is wrong with you, God? Why couldn't you help me in this? I wouldn't be in this shape if it weren't for you. Listen, I want you to hear this morning that there is no weakness on His part. There is no shallowness in Him. In fact, the Scriptures declare that we are complete in Christ. What's wrong is we're too shallow. We haven't gone deep enough in Christ. We haven't given Him everything. And so it is. We've got to go deep. We've got to go deep. We've got to go deeper. We've got to go deeper in Him. And then we can take our adultery to the cross. We can take our sin to the cross. We can take our worry to the cross. We can take the problems on our job and our work to the cross. We can take the family problems to the cross. We can take all of our addictions to the cross. You see, and when it's all said and done, as we take our financial concerns to the cross, we'll be in deep enough. We'll be in Christ, and really, truly, we'll have surrendered everything to Him. And He will declare over our life, I've nailed it. I've nailed it to the cross. this morning, you'll find inside of your bulletin, there's actually two post-it notes. You can give one to a person next to you, keep one for yourself if you need it. Share it with somebody else if they don't have a bulletin. This morning, this is how I want us to respond this morning. If there's something you need to give to God completely, fully, wholly to Him, I want you to write it on this little piece of paper. In just a moment, we're going to go and we're going to, as a way of altar call, I want you to come and put it on one of these crosses. I want you to just put it up there. You can put initials, you can put somebody's name. You can put initials, you can put just a letter that represents something that you know of in your life. But I want us to understand this morning that there was a time in my life as a teenager when the Lord told me, Stephen, it's time to get serious with me. I believe that call is in this room. To really take it to Him. Say, God, you've already paid the price, but in faith. See, this is what we mean. He only died a once for all death. May we understand that. May we have our belief system right. He'll never die again, but what we've got to do is give it to Him. It's by faith that we surrender our life to Him. It's already been accomplished. But sometimes we hang on to some stuff that is unnecessary for us to hang on to. And that becomes a hindrance to us. And it holds us back from being all that He wants us to be. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? As you have your head bowed, if you want to write something, but I want us to be in that spirit of reverence and prayer. And you need to write something on your paper there. I want you to do it. I want you to do it prayerfully with your head bowed. Your eyes may be open if necessary, but Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that You would show us where we are this morning in You. So, Lord, as we write upon the paper there, whatever it is, God, we bring it to the cross today, recognizing, God, that You nailed it to the cross. We just got to release it. We got to get it. We've got to give it up. Would You stand with me? And I want you, as a way of altar call, as the choir sings, I want you to come. And I want you to put that sticky note there upon one of these crosses this morning. As the choir sings, hallelujah, would You come?